They say I want revenge, that if there's no revenge, my death will have been for nothing. How can they make my death mean something?
On December 31st, 2004, 16-year-old Rogelio Bautista was gunned down on the streets of Southwest Santa Rosa, California. Afterward, the community struggled to make sense of what had happened. Four kids who grew up with Rogelio found one way. They pieced together their memories, retelling Rogelio's life story through his voice. This week on Youthcast, a piece called Our Name is Rogelio Bautista.
My name is Rogelio Bautista, but all my friends call me Moreno.
I was born in Michoacán, Mexico on April 3rd, 1988.
I got here about 10 years ago. I crossed the border into the United States to have a better future and more opportunities. And when I got here, I went to live in a yellow apartment building on Olive Street by the Rosen area of Santa Rosa.
I went to live with my little primito Juan. In that house, there was Juan's mom, dad, his aunt and uncle, their daughter, and my brother Ramiro, Sergio, my sister Elvia, and my mom and dad. 11 people in 3 rooms, but they were pretty big rooms. We would all get along pretty much, except for one time when Juan threw a domino at my brother Ramiro. Estaba bien enojado because Ramiro was trying to cheat, putting dominoes where they weren't supposed to go.
Pretty much, Juan was so glad we came because he didn't have no one to play with before us, just a 1-year-old baby sister. And what can you do with a 1-year-old? So we had this special connection, you know, sticking together, like if some clothes were too big for Juan, I get them. Those weren't the easiest times. Our family were scraping together to barely make rent each month. We'd go ask them for candy, you know, like any other kid. And they say, nah, there's not enough money. No kid wants to hear that. So to get our minds off of it, after we finished cleaning up, we'd go out and play baseball in the empty lot across the street from the yellow apartments.
Out there on that field, it was Juan, my friend Cesar, who lived right around the corner, his brother Roberto. Other kids in the neighborhood would join in too. We would play with a tennis ball and a plastic bat and some Kansas bases. Like, before the park was all nice and stuff, we would sometimes also play soccer there. Soccer in the rain is the best. You never play like that? Juan always says he wished that there was a rule that rain or shine, you had to play, even if it's pouring. The field can't be too wet, unless you step on the grass and your foot sinks in. That's too wet. Out on that field, rain or shine, always a mom would come out and say,
"Métanse a comer!"
And like 2 hours later, we'd finally go inside. My friends, they look back on those times, playing in that field, sometimes stealing candy from the little shops, building clubhouses. They say they miss those times. They wish it was back like how it was.
I started out school at Burbank Elementary. It was a small school, not so great, but not as ghetto as Bellevue, where my friend Enrique, who I would meet much later, went to school. This lady would pick us up each morning in a little yellow bus, a little Twinkie bus, right in front of our house. That was really nice of her, because it wasn't a regular stop. We were so quiet in the mornings, all sleepy, leaning against each other, but in the afternoons, we were so loud, shouting in Spanish, so the lady couldn't understand us from one end of the Twinkie bus to the other. "What are you guys talking about?" that lady would say. What were we even talking about way back then?
After Burbank, I kind of disappeared in a way, I guess. Like, I'm not sure why, but I moved from Juan's house to a house on Moreland, right by where all those car dealerships are.
Me llaman el desaparecido. Cuando llega ya se ha ido. Volando vengo, volando.
The kids I would play baseball with in that empty field didn't really know where I went, and they didn't even see too much of each other, since Juan moved over to Sunset and went to Roseden, while Cesar went to cook with Enrique. I met Enrique because I went over to cook to take care of some business, if you know what I mean, and he was going to help me. We got the guy pretty bad. He can't fight with his arm anymore. We jumped him because he was a buster. I was kicking it with Sureños back then, but I only got jumped in when I was 15. Before, I was just representing, but I wanted more power. I wanted people to be scared of me.
You have to ask to be jumped in, and one day, I did, and that was it. Before getting jumped in, I had to get checks and strikes. I had to do stuff like break windows, beat people up, break into cars, missions like that. Kind of like that video game that my primito Juan likes, GTA San Andreas. But I don't have any teardrop tattoos. That means I didn't kill someone in one of my missions. One thing is I never wore blue. Even though we're Sureños and Angelino Heights, my clica never sports blue like that. Meanwhile, my friends were all kind of getting to be part of the pandillas. My friend Cesar almost got shot in front of his little sister by another clica. Enrique, he started kicking it with my gang more and more. This girl named Carmen's brother got jumped into the clica VSL. After that, I was always kicking it over there at her house. I jumped people in. I kicked one guy really hard in the stomach once, on the train tracks, one night really late. After that, he was my homeboy. And he was remembering that night, when he stood over my open casket, it made him sad. But then, he thought about how much I like to eat cheese nips, how I could eat a whole box at once. That made him smile.
After I was jumped in, I was at L.C. Allen High School, which it was pretty much puro Sureño, so life was pretty good there. Sometimes Juan would come over to my house for parties. He'd probably be in the same gang with me if he would have moved over to Moreland, because he looked up to me. But as things were, we'd only see each other at special occasions. Thinking about it, maybe the only reason why I got involved with this is because of these two fools from L.A., who came and they started Angelino Heights about 3 years ago.
That and living on Moreland, I guess. So I would see my neighbor Enrique sometimes when we would kick it, drinking and smoking, at an empty house next door to my pad. I would see Carmen when I was kicking back with my brother Romito at her brother's house. We would sit back in her brother Junior's room, or the garage, or in the backyard, smoking weed, drinking Mickey's, talking about girls. But sometimes, when no one else was around, Junior would talk about wanting to disappear from the gang life, and he trusted me to talk about that. Junior finally did get out of gangs, I guess. People who don't understand, who didn't know me, they ask if there's anything that anyone could have done or have said to me to get me out of a gang. But anyone who knew me will tell you, no, there wasn't. It was my life. It was everything I had. Angelino Heights, AH, was tattooed in old English letters across my chest.
So, of course, I wasn't about to leave my homies. I would do anything for them. Everyone knew me as fearless. Even if fools were coming at me with bats, I'd take those fools. But I would never fight dirty. I would use what God gave me to defend myself. I was tough, but if you got to know me, I could be a total opposite. Like, I was proud of my sister. She was on a bad path, but she somehow sorted things out. And now she has a beautiful baby girl and a nice car and a good job. Yeah, when it came to family, I could be sweet. When my brothers were at home, I was so happy, glad to see my whole family together. When my brothers weren't there, I wouldn't talk as much.
One of my brothers was there, at home, on Moreland, on New Year's Eve. I was hanging out, cutting cabbage or something, and a friend told me there was a gang fight on Barbara. I walked over there, just two streets down, but most of the people were gone when I got there. Enrique was also over there after people were scattering. He got in a fight, then went back home.
I was going to go home too, with Junior, 10 minutes before it all went down, because he was going to give me a ride home, but I wanted to walk home with my brother from Barbara Drive.
And there, on Barbara Drive, that's where the shape of my body is spray-painted now, with green dots showing the steps that I took as I started rushing those guys.
No one knows what happened exactly at that moment. Well, maybe my brother Sergio, but he's not talking.
Some people say it was payback. Some people say they just meant to scare me.
Maybe the guy thought the trigger was locked.
Maybe he thought he was shooting somewhere else. Somewhere else, besides my head, where a bullet went straight through my skull, and then everything. The short story of struggle was over in a second.
That night, just a half hour later, Cesar was kicking it with his brother at his house, waiting for pizza to come. He got a call from Enrique. Enrique said, "Hey, Ramiro, Rogelio's brother had just killed someone, or done something. He's so dumb, Cesar say. He told his brother, and they were both like, we can't believe it.
A few minutes before Enrique made the call to Cesar, he had gotten a call from a cousin. Something had happened with Romito. He was with the cops. He was crying. Enrique had heard the shot. He was that close. But like everyone else, he was sure that on New Year's Eve, it was fireworks. So he was in his room, listening to Mr. Sancho. He answered the phone at 8:20. It was his cousin's mom's comadre. You always imagine these long emotional conversations, like in movies, at moments like these. But she didn't say much, hardly anything at all. She said, sit down. And he did. Sat right there on the floor. Rogelio died. He got shot, she said. Enrique only asked, who did it? She didn't know. And just like that, after maybe a minute, he got off the phone. And there he was, sitting on the floor, this tough homeboy, crying for an hour. Then he went downstairs, sat on the couch, just sitting there, his parents next to him, watching that ball drop, not saying anything to him, at all. Clicking glasses of champagne, not saying anything to him, not anything at all.
My cousin Juan was sitting at his kitchen table with his family eating at about 11 o'clock. His dad got a phone call from his uncle. His dad didn't say anything besides, ¿Quién fue? Who did it? But Juan knew it was me. Well, either me or one of my two brothers. Juan stopped eating his pozole birria, bowed his head, listened to the conversation. Dios mío, said the people at the table. No lo puedo creer. When people ask him how he felt at that moment, what he thought, he just says, I couldn't believe it. I just couldn't believe it. An hour later, he was still sitting at that table, but his family was in the living room, with the big parties playing on Channel 14, Dad sipping brandy, everyone staring down at the ground, plastic little Christmas tree as short as him, lights blinking on and off and on and off. Juan's dad went out to see the scene on Barbara. His mom went to sleep. And Juan, he's got a TV in his room, and his PS2 hooked up to it. Nice, huh? And he turned on the South Park movie on 57. He turned off the lights. His sister was already asleep across the room. And he was just lying there in the dark, watching this funny movie but too down to laugh, trying to get his mind off it till he finally went to sleep.
Carmen was home at around 11:45. Her brother had called to say he wasn't coming home. He was going to stay at his dad's pad because something had happened. Someone had shot Rogelio, and all his homies were going to be there, smoking and drinking and remembering him. At first, she couldn't believe it. Why Rogelio? He never seemed like a bad kid. Midnight came and went. The TV off. No one celebrating. Carmen crying. She stayed up, talking to her mom in the living room. A veces malas cosas le pasan a buenas personas, said her mom. Bad things happen sometimes to good people. She listened to slow music, R&B, till Carmen finally fell asleep. Carmen, Juan, Enrique, and Cesar, sleeping in separate beds, but all dreaming of a life waiting for them when they wake up. Not the kind of sleep you sleep in this place so cold when your life turns into another sad number. Your name, a headline for some fool in Fountain Grove to frown over the morning after it was already too late for another Latino kid from El Barrio de Roseland, Santa Rosa, California, USA.
Tú no tienes la culpa, mi amor, que el mundo sea tan feo. Tú no tienes la culpa, mi amor, de tanto tiroteo. Va por la calle llorando.
My name is Rogelio Bautista. My mother, she cries her eyes out. My dad's eyes are red, but he doesn't cry in public. My brother Sergio cries too. My brother Ramiro, all he thinks about is revenge. They've had to send him to Mexico to cool off. They almost sent Enrique away too. Cesar's mad. It's almost enough to make him want to go back to that life. Even though it just winds up with you dead on the driveway, you want to do something to feel better. Mad, so mad. Carmen's just glad her brother's out of it all. Juan can't believe it, just can't believe it. My homie Enrique carefully cuts the press Democrat clips. He's so mad, a mad bigger than any other mad there is. He wants revenge. His homies call him, even though his parents try everything to keep him off the phone. They don't let him out of the house, but the homies tell him there's plans. They say there's gonna be a hit on NX4. He sees like 40 guys, big guys, OGs too, hanging out on Neville. Everyone says there's no stopping it. Cesar, Carmen, Juan, Enrique, they all get lectures from teachers, from parents. Sí, es lo que te pasa por estar en pandillas. That's what happens to troublemakers. And me, the troublemaker, lying there in my casket with the stitch up the side of my head, cold lips, rosaries on my chest. What do I want? Do I want revenge? Will I feel disrespected if people take my death as a warning and step away? Will I have died for nothing if my clique ruins its credibility by not striking back?
Or is it that somewhere inside me, inside that chest shot through with chemicals to make me look alive, is there a heavy heart, a heart that wonders how it would be if we didn't have these kinds of choices? Do I wonder if I really chose this life? Chose it, like kids across the freeway choose to vote Democrat to piss off their parents, turn punk, pick a college, puke up their dinner, form a drug habit, lose their virginity, get a job? Do I think these kids I grew up with can really choose, should choose my path? Do I really want Enrique locked up? Or Cesar paralyzed, or Juan going to more family funerals, or Carmen waiting, worried for her brother to come home?
People are planning. They say they will do things. They say I want revenge, that if there's no revenge, my death will have been for nothing. How can they make my death mean something?
That's what so many of them are thinking at the service, while the priest is up front saying they shouldn't expect any answer from heaven about why I died, saying that God moves in mysterious ways that we can never understand.
Y hay algo que está por encima de lo que aparece ante nuestros ojos.
When he says they shouldn't be too sad, because it's just your body that dies, it's just the ritos de respiración, the end. But the essence survives somewhere, somewhere they can't get to.
Ahora, dentro de todo este aparente sinsentido, hay una realidad que nos obliga a nosotros a dar un paso más.
But they are sad. Who cares about something you can't see, laugh with, or wave at from across sunset? They have shirts and sweatshirts, Rogelio Bautista, in loving memory. Those words, tattooed, ink still shiny and fresh on the back of their shaved heads. What is a loving memory? How do you remember a life not really lived? What are people remembering at the end of the service while the priest talks about sin and redemption? And the babies cry and the girls hold tight to their boyfriend's hands. And my brother puts on a brave face and my sister cries. And all the homies plot. All the people in the black in this room murmuring in Spanish, my face smiling on their shirts.
That's one image, one moment, frozen. But what about the other images, the other me's? The me born in a small, dusty town in Michoacán, crossing the border as just a little kid. The me playing in that abandoned field in Olive Street, helping Junior talk himself out of gangs. The me who was a brother just so happy when my other brothers were at home. The me quien era tan gran fanático del equipo América. The me that ends up that outline spray painted on concrete for moms to roll over with their baby strollers. A life. It can't just be an outline, a color, or a number, can it?
At what point, at what moment did I become that outline? When did the panting, yelling kid knocking tennis balls into a weedy, muddy outfield become an outline surrounded by police tape, neighbors, cops, flashing lights. The moment I crossed the border, playing dominoes with Juan in that crowded apartment, calling out in Spanish on the school bus. The first time I beat someone up, the second my homie slammed his fist into my face.
Through these fields of destruction, baptisms of fire.
Si trabajamos juntos, buscando una vida diferente, la realidad puede ser distinta, says the priest. Our reality could be different, but could this story have been any different? Can you honestly say you would have wanted something better for me? Could you have imagined something better? And if you did, what are you going to do with your tears or anger now? Carmen, Enrique, Cesar, Juan, what are they going to do? What do you honestly expect them to do?
Like my primito Juan, 5 feet tall, standing as my body moved past, round brown eyes, staring as I'm followed by a stream of black. My little cousin, once so glad to have someone to play with, he sees a casket where there once was a kid, and among loving memories and anger and sadness and questions, he's thinking of that saying we all seem to have been told, tu vida es prestada, nunca fue tuya. Life is borrowed. It was never really my life to begin with.
Let me bid you farewell.
That was Our Name is Rogelio Bautista from KRCB Voice of Youth, a group that runs out of public radio station KRCB in Sonoma County, California. Our Name is Rogelio Bautista was narrated by David Valerias, Julio Hernandez, Maria Marquez, and Luis Vargas. To learn more about this story, go to youthcast.org. There you'll find links to an online discussion with the narrators, along with photos of Rogelio Bautista's family. Again, that's youthcast.org or myspace.com/youthcast. Youthcast is a project of Generation PRX, a website that is all about youth radio. Go to generation.prx.org to learn more. Youthcast will be back in 2 weeks with another story by a talented young producer. Youthcast is the next generation of sound. It is a glimpse into the magic eight ball of radio's future, and the outlook is good. I'm Kira Feldman. Thanks for listening.